Well, how much did you pay for a jar of honey the last time you went shopping? No, I'm serious. The answer is a lot more than you paid 5 years ago. But it's not just inflation that's to blame. You may remember last year when news broke that many well-known brands of honey that we buy here in Australia had other artificial ingredients in it. And this was scandalous for all the so-called pure honey producers. It caused panic in the industry and earned the mistrust among consumers. But that's not the entire answer either. The truth has more to do with the producers themselves. The honeybees, their population around the globe, well, it's dwindling. And as per the laws of supply and demand, the less honey available, the more it costs. So should we be worried about this declining population? And should we be collaborating with other countries to help the bee species survive? Hard to believe. Here's the Australian beekeeper, Jeffrey Gibbs. He's speaking with Colorado beekeeper Tom Theobald on a podcast called The Organic View.
The only reason that bees aren't completely wiped out already is that beekeepers are doing their best trying to build up bees. But while you're building up bees, you're not getting honey. And our honey figures here, Tom, are just looking like they're decimated, mate. The honey production in Australia is dropping massively. The hive numbers are dropping too, but the beekeepers are forever trying to build bees up. And so you're either building bees up or you're collecting honey. But the real figures come out here in the honey production. And we're losing massive, hundreds of tons of honey every year.
That was an interview about the survival of bees on The Organic View, and we'll put a link on our website. And later in that same podcast, the focus shifted to the United States, where last year alone, the honeybee population decreased by, get this, 40%. Struth! They're scary figures. Dr. John Roberts is a honeybee expert, and he joins me via Skype. He's a research scientist of health and biosecurity at the CSIRO. G'day, John.
Morning, how are you?
Now, with figures like a 40% loss of bee population in America over the last year, we should be worried, shouldn't we?
Yes and no, which is always the diplomatic answer. But yeah, the US have been recording for a number of years now increased hive losses of their managed honeybees, and that's been causing a lot of concern around the world. But the story does vary from country to country, region to region. But yeah, the US is a place where managed honeybees are under a lot of stress.
What about this parasite, varroa mite? That seems to be the main culprit of hive deaths. How did it spread?
So yeah, the varroa mite is definitely the number one biological threat for bees, but it's in combination with a deadly virus called deformed wing virus. So these two things act together to cause real problems around the world for honeybees, except in Australia. And this is a mite that originated from Asian honeybees in Asia in last century, with the movement of European honeybees around the world for beekeeping. These mites took the chance to jump onto a new host and have been spread around the world by beekeepers and trade of bees. And we're now seeing just that global impact of this very serious parasite and the viruses that it spreads.
Yeah, we've missed it though. How?
I would say a lot of luck goes into it. It's very handy being an island at the bottom of the world here, but we also have excellent biosecurity in place, and we've been really making sure that we're doing our best to protect ourselves from an incursion of varroa mites. But New Zealand is in a similar location to us, and they were unfortunately had varroa mite arrive in 2000. So even though we are isolated, it's certainly still an important risk.
And it's a reminder of our unique climate. The recent Tasmanian fires, I understand, have caused beekeepers to have their worst season in decades. Now, if bees were to die out, what would happen?
So important to note that honeybees are not the only pollinators out there, but the important role that managed honeybees play is that they are able to provide the large-scale pollination services that are needed for large-scale agriculture. And so if we see these continual declines in managed honeybees, and we can't have a thriving managed honeybee industry, it makes it very hard to meet those pollination demands, and that means it makes it harder and harder to produce those fruits and vegetables that we enjoy so much.
Fascinating. So the health of Australian bees, that makes them hot property, right?
Yeah, I think so. We're really fortunate here to not have some of those major biological threats that are, and issues that are seen around the world. So we've got quite a healthy bee population, but we do have plenty of other challenges. So we've got a number of other pest and disease issues to deal with. And in your introduction there, the Australian beekeeper was commenting on that production has been tough. So even though we don't have varroa mites or deformed wing virus, our conditions are not always favourable. And the increasing demand for pollination and having enough good places to feed bees becomes challenging to make sure that your bees are strong enough to not just be building up, as the beekeeper said, but are built up to a population size that they are then productive and bringing lots of honey and doing great pollination.
Okay, well, let's bring this to food security. We've got Robert Costa. He's the largest producer of fruit and vegetables in this country. Mm-hmm. And he says if we don't protect the bee industry, he says that food security would be a genuine concern. Fair point?
I think so. It's always hard to put exact numbers on these, but there's plenty of good estimate and modelling around what sort of economic impact it would have by not having those pollination services available. So in Australia, a good example for us is that one of our biggest pollination requirements is for almonds during August for almond pollination. And we have over 100,000 hives coming down to do almond pollination at that period. And that is a huge number of the total managed bee population in Australia. And so, and we're already seeing challenges in trying to meet that demand, and that demand is increasing year on year. So we need to be finding ways of making our beekeepers more productive and being able to maintain the health and the strength of those colonies so that they are able to do all those jobs that we want them to do, collecting the honey and doing those pollination services.
My guest is Dr. John Roberts. He's a honeybee expert and research scientist of health and biosecurity at the CSIRO. We're talking about, of all things, the global population of bees. Now, John, the World Bee Project, it's an organisation that's been set up to prevent the demise of bees. They say that globally, 77% of the world food supply depends on pollinators. Are people aware of the importance and the plight of bees?
Over at least a decade now, I think there's just been a really strong push and a lot of communication around, and in large part that's come from some of these increased losses coming out of the US and in the EU as well. And it's really just brought to the forefront in people's minds that role that pollination plays in food security. So it is getting a lot of awareness, and with that we're seeing some great initiatives around the world to trying to make more pollinator-friendly environments and looking for new ways to better manage some of these serious pests, such as varroa.
Yeah, and so we need more beekeepers to build the industry, I guess. Now, you said that the bee community is international. I mean, tell us more about these people. Who are the members of that bee community?
Well, yeah, I think the international bee industry is quite a good community in that there is a lot of collaboration between different researchers and also a lot of good knowledge sharing that goes on between different beekeepers and being able to learn from their experiences around the world. And for us in Australia, that's been really important for us in terms of thinking about how we might live with varroa if it does arrive. But because of the complexities of issues that are facing honeybees, it's something that is really needing an international effort to try and understand how these different stresses are impacting on bees under different conditions.
Okay, and that brings us back to Australia. We have very strict biosecurity measures around bee products. So the question here is, what kind of diplomacy is required to work with other nations when we want their trade? I mean, we want access to their research while still hanging on to our highly valued sole trader status. So what kind of diplomacy is required here, John?
It is a challenging one. So one of the issues that are current for us here in Australia is thinking about preparing for varroa, and can we import genetics, honeybee genetics from overseas to prepare us for that? But one of the risks with importing honeybee queens or bee semen to introduce to our bee population is that it presents some important biosecurity risks. So both varroa and deforming virus could be coming in through those means. So we need to make sure that we are managing those risks and getting the right balance when it comes to being an international collaborator.
John, thanks so much for joining us on Between the Lines. This is a first for the program, helping us understand the soft diplomacy of beekeeping. Thanks so much.
No worries. It's a pleasure.
Dr. John Roberts, he's a honeybee expert and research scientist of health and biosecurity at the CSIRO.